Salam alaikum. I hope you are doing well. I hope you're enjoying your Eid, Eid Mubarak. Today we're going to talk about a simple way that could have 4x'd your returns in the previous period and perhaps is still relevant to 4x'ing your returns in the upcoming period. So what could that simple change in your portfolio be? Well, let's talk about that. Bitwise Asset Management came out with a very good report about the state of crypto in Q1, and I'll take you through some highlights of that report. Without further ado, let's get started. As always, this is not financial advice, so be sure to do your own due diligence before making any investing decisions. So I kept this just to show you what the impact of the PPI report today and the CPI report yesterday have had on the expectations for rate cuts and how that has impacted the markets. So if you've noticed, the markets have been down in the past 48 hours. And this is because the expectation for a rate cut in June went from around 56% prior to the most recent reports to around 20%. Now, in fairness, the CPI report that came out yesterday, which measures price increases for consumers, that came out hotter than expected. The PPI report, the producer price index that came out today, which measures prices for producers, actually came in line with expectations. So it was basically, you know, not a surprise either to the upside or downside. And this is good. It can be a leading indicator for CPI because eventually producers pass on their costs to consumers. And so if the costs for producers aren't increasing, the cost for consumers will likely not increase by much as well. Now, it is noteworthy, though, that of the things that have been increasing in price, auto insurance has increased 22.2%. in the last year, which is crazy when you think about it. Kind of highlights the good business that auto insurance is, because especially in the United States, auto insurance is mandated. If you have a car, you have to have insurance. This gives auto insurers basically a captive market that has to buy auto insurance regardless of how high they jack up their prices. So interesting there. I don't think that, you know, monetary policy is necessarily going to affect auto insurance that much. I think that's, you know, in large part a dynamic that is specific to auto insurance. And therefore, if you were to take out the contribution of auto insurance to inflation, then you'd have a much smaller number. By the way, PIF live videos like this one have inflated in price 0% since last year. So if you do appreciate these videos, make sure to leave a like. I would appreciate that. The Bitcoin halving is in just 8 days. So mark your calendars, get ready. It actually might be quite underwhelming given all the buildup that has preceded it. But for those who are very into Bitcoin and investing, it is kind of, you know, a big day that you kind of have on your calendar for a long time. And for those who are unfamiliar, this is the time when the supply of Bitcoin gets cut in half. So the expectation is that price is going to increase since supply is cut in half, demand remains the same or increases, the price should increase. And in fact, if we go to history, this is exactly what happened. So if you look at the last halving, before the halving, the price appreciated 26%. After the halving, 548%. So we're talking about basically 12 months after halving. In 2016, the after-halving appreciation was close to double the pre-halving appreciation. It was bonkers, basically 9,000% after the halving, almost an appreciation 386% before the halving. So historically, we do have strong precedent that suggests the appreciation that is ahead of us is more than what we have experienced. And another way to look at this, So if we look at the four-year cycle for Bitcoin, basically the only down year is the year that comes basically not before the halving, not the year of the halving, not the one after it, but the one after that. So 2026. Historically, that's been the case. History doesn't always repeat, but it often does rhyme. And we can see in the first two halvings, the appreciation in the year that followed the halving, so in our case, 2025, was much, much larger than what came before it. And this historical precedent is obviously we look at on-chain metrics as well. And that's, I think, more important. But historical precedent does color our expectation for Bitcoin, and especially with Bitcoin, considering that the supply is algorithmic. So there's no human-based input. So it's more easily forecastable than in many other, you know, investment cases. Now, this time around, this halving, we have something very significant that we didn't have in previous halvings, which is the Bitcoin ETFs. And so far, since they launched in the beginning of this year until the end of March, they've sucked up, hoovered up, three times the amount of new Bitcoin that have been produced. So 3x the amount of Bitcoin that has been mined during the last 3 months has been sucked in by these Bitcoin ETFs. After the halving, if we are to assume the same pace of purchasing for these Bitcoin ETFs, then this number would be 6x. So in the next 3 months, the ETFs would hoover up 6x the amount of new Bitcoin mined. And keep in mind, most of the big banks have not yet authorized their advisors to recommend Bitcoin or to suggest Bitcoin for their clients. So we're still early here in terms of the Bitcoin ETF's impact on the supply of Bitcoin. Now, I do get questions a lot since gold has been, you know, appreciating relative to its history. It's been appreciating at a reasonable pace, Bitcoin or gold? Well, if you look at the spot Bitcoin ETF versus the gold ETFs have actually lost in cumulative assets under management since the beginning of the year. So they lost close to $2.5 billion in assets under management. Bitcoin ETFs have gained around $12 billion. And I have to think that part of the $12 billion that has flowed into Bitcoin ETFs has come from the gold ETFs. After all, one of the use cases for Bitcoin is digital gold. Additionally, the Bitcoin asset is proving a better and better diversifier for investors as its correlation approaches zero. So there, its correlation with the S&P 500, that is. So in the period 2020-2021, we saw a really strong positive correlation now with the S&P. But now that correlation is going down to zero. And when you're trying to diversify your investing holdings, what you want to hold are uncorrelated assets, things that are not dependent on one another. That's what gets you maximum diversification. And Bitcoin provides that. Another positive of the Bitcoin asset is the volatility, which has been coming down. Now, we did see a spike in the most recent history, but if you zoom out, certainly if you're comparing, you know, 2024 levels to 2013 or 2014 levels, you can see how the volatility has subsided quite substantially. So less volatility, you know, more access from institutional investors, from ETFs, a more attractive risk-reward ratio now with the volatility lower, and a more attractive correlation with the S&P, which is, you know, approaching zero. All of this added to the performance of Bitcoin, which has outpaced all of the other major asset classes since 2011. So 2011, if you look at the highest returning asset class, if you consider Bitcoin an asset class in and of itself, and that's an asterisk next to that. But 2011, 12, 13, Bitcoin was the best performing asset. US REITs were the best in 2014. Those are real estate investment trusts. 15, 16, 17, Bitcoin again was the top performing asset. 2018, US bonds were. 19, 20, 21, again Bitcoin. 2022, you had commodities. 2023 and 2024, Bitcoin again is the best performing asset. So you're really having an investment asset that is just hard to deny at this point, which brings me to the 4x your returns formula. So the traditional portfolio, what advisors traditionally advise their clients is 60% equities, 40% bonds. That's the traditional portfolio. Now, most people have been, I think most advisors deviate from that. But this is sort of the textbook traditional portfolio. If you were to go with this traditional portfolio for the years that we covered, you would have a cumulative return of 85%. Now, if you were to add just 1% of Bitcoin to your portfolio and the rest be the traditional portfolio, your cumulative return would have been 103%. And then it would be 132% with 2.5% Bitcoin, it would be 189% with 5% Bitcoin, and it would be 333% with 10% Bitcoin. So basically the difference in your cumulative return is basically 4x between having 0% Bitcoin in your portfolio and 10% Bitcoin in your portfolio. And you can see that the Sharpe ratio, which is the risk-adjusted return, would have improved as well. So not just the return on an absolute level, but even compared to the risk that you were taking, as illustrated by the Sharpe ratio, would have improved as well. So the risk-adjusted return. So whereas with the traditional portfolio, you would have had a Sharpe ratio of 0.4. With the traditional portfolio plus 10% coin, you would have had a Sharpe ratio of 1.035. So twice as good the risk-adjusted return. So with this being said, and the slides that I showed you showing where we are, at least from a historical perspective in this cycle, I really think that, at least for myself, having something like 10% in Bitcoin makes a lot of sense. And, perhaps even more than that, depending on your risk appetite and tolerance. Do become a PIF member if you're interested in following our portfolios. We have a community of halal conscious investors trying to do good and do well. And we'd love to have you on our team. Wa alaikum salam to everyone. Are meme coins halal or not? I believe I covered that in either the last live or the live before that. So check it out. And yes, hair is on point. Thank you for tuning in. Leave a like if you enjoyed. Until next time, make sure to take care of yourself. Assalamu alaikum and peace be upon you all.